If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts, gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail location. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Gapping with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today we're doing a quick episode unpacking this morning's news that Taylor Frankie Paul from The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives will be the next lead of The Bachelorette for its 22nd season. She announced the news via a very heavily teased interview on Call Her Daddy, where we learned that ABC had pivoted to casting her as the next Bachelorette instead of doing their planned Bachelor season. It's a huge swing. It's a huge changeup that's already divided the internet. TLDR, it seems as though to me, people who consider themselves more to be Secret Lives of Mormon Wives fans are thrilled with the news, while Bachelor Nation loyalists are more upset about it. I, for one, think it's an incredible decision for a myriad of reasons. I outlined a bunch of them in a long TikTok on my page, but I also wanted to have on a true expert on the podcast in this space to catch me up to speed on where Bachelor Nation has been in the past few years, because I tapped out several years ago. I will obviously be tapping back in with this upcoming season. You know, where Bachelor Nation has lost a lot of its relevance, and someone who could explain why this is such a big casting decision. In fact, it's the first time ever that The Bachelorette has been cast from outside of Bachelor Nation. They usually pull from a previous season of The Bachelor, and just the second time that a woman with kids has been cast as a lead. So I invited Emma Gray, who has been covering The Bachelor for a decade, onto the show to chat about it with me, and she did not disappoint. She brought an entirely different perspective on this news than I do, so we had a really informative, great chat. So keep listening for my discussion with Emma Gray all about the news that Taylor Frankie Paul is going to be the next Bachelorette. Check out her podcast with Claire Fallon. Love to see it. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you one more time this week. I want to gab. All right, today we're gapping with Emma Gray, one of the co-hosts of Love to See It with Emma and Claire, as well as the co-author of the awesome Substack, Rich Text, which also has a podcast. Emma is a bachelor and dating show expert, and I had to have her on for a quick debrief for the big news, honestly, earth-shattering news. Taylor Frankie Paul is the lead for season 22 of The Bachelorette. She's from, obviously, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Emma, happy to see your face. I needed an expert in the room with me to break this all down. How are you?
I am processing. How am I, Gibson?
How am I?
Yeah. I'm unwell. I am excited. I'm trepidatious. I think this is a huge, huge swing on the part of the Bachelor franchise. You know, as someone who has been covering this show for now a decade professionally, even more, I think that we needed some new life injected into the franchise. And regardless of how you feel about Taylor Frankie Paul, they're doing it.
They're doing it. And we'll get into it. But was your first instinct, like, is this like a last ditch big swing? Is this like a, how would you characterize it? Is it out of desperation? And is it out of like, we just have to make a big, have a big moment?
Maybe a little bit. Okay. like I do think, I don't think we're at the point where the franchise was about to end or anything. I don't think it was like an act of pure desperation. But I do think anyone can see the writing has been on the wall. This is a franchise that has been around for a really long time, but in the last 5 years, certainly has been really overtaken for cultural primacy by shows like Love Island, like Love is Blind. And so I think if The Bachelor wants to stay in the mix, stay in the conversation and reinvent itself, they need to make changes and they need to do something. And I think that like, this is their something coming off of a season of Bachelor in Paradise that was a real reinvention and also took some big swings. And we do know that that same showrunner is being brought over to The Bachelor, okay. Bachelorette, Scott Teddy, who previously did Summer House.
Which, you know, we love
that's
to hear that.
Your area.
Yeah, we love to hear that. Yeah. So obviously you said it was overtaken sort of by Love Island, by Love is Blind, by some of these sort of, I don't know, these shows that I feel like we're more adept at like kind of making changes.
Yeah, fresher, more of the moment. Certainly right. Love is Blind, you know, only came on the scene in 2020. So it is more a just product of like our current era
right.
than The Bachelor.
So what about Bachelor Nation felt stuck to you and maybe viewers? And like, why did it feel like it was losing its kind of cultural cachet or sort of its kind of hold on the zeitgeist, which it had for a while?
Yeah, I think it had that hold for a very long time. And I think there is no question that every dating show ever at this point is in conversation with The Bachelor.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. The Bachelor is the blueprint of a dating show that has a season-long narrative that is not like a revolving door where you are getting to know a handful of characters over the course of several months, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is what The Bachelor created, and every other dating show that is in that pool is in conversation with it. But I do think that because it has kind of been able to rest on its format and being the original for such a long time, it started to just kind of retreat as people sought out things that felt a little bit fresher, a little bit more reflective of the dating culture that we currently exist in. You know, The Bachelor is and always has been like fundamentally a marriage show.
Totally. Which can make it seem in some people's minds a little antiquated, maybe, or sort of having old ideals, right? And so,
yeah.
And I think of Taylor as an interesting person to,
I agree,
invigorate the show from that perspective because she comes from such a culture in the Mormon world, which has a lot of those same ideals, yeah. even more intensely.
I think that is the thing that I am sort of noodling on with this choice is that this is both, I think, a very 2025 choice. You know, you are casting someone who is outside of the franchise. You are casting someone who is a reality star, mm-hmm. who already is famous, who is deeply messy. On the other hand, it's a throwback choice because She is a very famous Mormon. She is culturally conservative in a lot of ways. From what we know, comes from a very politically conservative background. And so in a way, it is like marrying the current cultural moment with a more regressive cultural moment. And I think that in a way feels appropriate, given that we are in a moment of deep, deep cultural conservatism and social and political conservatism.
Absolutely. Like I even was recently listened to a podcast about Sabrina Carpenter and how she is very much like, you know, she represents some of these maybe more conservative leaning ideals and like these images, but actually she's kind of subverting that. So maybe The Bachelor can do something, The Bachelorette can do something similar here, where they're listening to her on Call Her Daddy. She was talking about how, like, I actually don't want to choose a Mormon. Like, I would ideally not want to end up with a Mormon via this journey. And that's a big statement from her.
I agree. I was very struck by that. You know, she said she's open to all religions. She talked about the fact that she does think it would be easier to end up with someone who believes in God, but she is open to hearing from people of different like perspectives on that. And so in a way, that makes her a great fit for The Bachelor, because we see a lot of nebulous conversations about faith on that show without, you know, pinpointing to such a particular religious background. And there are like a lot of just run-of-the-mill Christians who are cast on The Bachelor. And so in a way, it's like, yeah, she's a great fit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we mentioned that she's a reality star. That Taylor Frankie Paul has been on reality TV for 2 seasons. There's a third season coming up of Secret Lives, and she's not leaving that show. Like, she's still going to be on that show. And I think that it gets into this idea, one, of obviously her having such experience in the realm. Like, obviously, The Bachelorette usually pulls from somebody who's been on one season of reality TV on a previous season of The Bachelor. But Taylor is a very natural, very watchable, depth reality star. And that gets into this idea also, I think, that, like, one of the, as sort of a casual purveyor of Bachelor Nation over the past several years, I feel like one of the biggest raps against it was everybody goes on that show wanting to be famous, wanting to be an influencer, wanting to establish some sort of brand and platform for themselves. But Taylor already has that.
Yeah.
Taylor already has that. And so, like, that's likely not really a motivation for her here.
No, I think that what's so interesting here is that it sort of completely changes the boundaries of like the right reasons conversation, because something that The Bachelor likes to do. And I think this is another reason that it has struggled to adapt to our modern era, where when it started, you could more easily police, like, are you here for fame? Now there are so many opportunities for fame that exists within social media. There is such like a clear career trajectory if you gain a platform from a reality dating show. That didn't exist when the show started. And so we have been existing in this weird space where it's like, you have to be there for the right reasons. But also, yes, obviously, everyone who goes on a reality show is trying to be famous and hoping to gain a platform and hoping to gain some kind of monetary, you know, opportunity as a result of that. Taylor changes the bounds of that because she already, as you said, she already has those things. And also, anyone who is going to date her is going to inherently gain those things. So, like, the right reasons is different, right? Like, it's almost like, well, yeah, you can be on there for fame, but the real right reasons is, are you actually there to date Taylor? Are you actually a sincere romantic prospect for her? And that can kind of be separated from whether you are there to gain a higher profile. Because, like, if you're dating Taylor Frankie Paul, you're going to.
Right, exactly. And she was also like, I'm not leaving Utah. Like, whoever I choose has to move there. She's also a very kind of strong-willed person in a lot of ways. And so, like, she's not really gonna sway with the breeze or kind of be, I think maybe the only times I think we saw her do it on Secret Lives is like with Dakota, with her baby daddy, who like kind of had her under a spell in some ways. Like, she would just kind of always come back to him. And that's another thing that this kind of represents. And that was a big learning for me from the Call Her Daddy interview that she did, which was like, Dakota is out the door. Like
they're done.
We're done with Dakota. Yeah. And I think that brings in, like, you know, the story that we already know about her. And we already know so much about her background. And again, that's true of most bachelorettes because they've been on The Bachelor. But I feel like the level with her is much deeper that we already know. And so there's a lore there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it will be interesting to see the mix of people, and especially as we get towards the end and we meet families, like, how much do people know about her background? I think that is going to be something she's going to have to address. There is obviously this record of an arrest, a domestic violence incident where her children were in the home. I suspect, and I think understandably, that is, like, the biggest backlash that, you know, the show and that the network is going to receive for this casting choice. And I think that's something that, like, is genuinely hard for audiences to grapple with. Like, is this the person who should be put in this position? Should that history be disqualifying? And, like, I don't know. I think I'm still processing my feelings on it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think a lot of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives viewers have maybe more fully processed that, or, like,
yes. And I think that's why, like, I have am able to maintain, like, a real fondness for Taylor, because I do, and maybe this is misguided, you know, these are not people we know personally.
Yeah.
But she is very raw. She has done a lot of that processing in the public sphere and been held to account in the public sphere for her actions. And so I would like to think that someone is not, like, simply the sum of their worst actions and their worst moments. I think the fact that we have seen her, if you've watched Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, talk very openly, take responsibility, and also maintain her sobriety over the last few years since this incident, all of that makes me, like, tempers my queasiness about the choice, I will say.
Totally. That makes absolute sense to me. And one thing that makes me think about is, like, you know, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, I'm pretty sure it was, like, the number one show on Hulu. It is a huge show.
Yes.
But I'm so curious how The Bachelorette's going to treat her and her story in terms of, like, is this a full reintroduction of Taylor? Is this an introduction of Taylor to a whole new audience? Are we going to retell that story? Is she going to have to relitigate that? Like, I'm so curious how they treat it. Like, are they going to assume we know who she is and what she's about?
Or are they going to try to glaze over it? I mean, I hope not. I hope they won't, because it's out there. It's on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. The whole reason, a big reason this is happening is because there is this, like, synergy, you know, the Bachelor franchise. They're all part of the Disney Entertainment Television group. So there is, that cross promotion. We know that Secret Lives season 3 is coming in November. Then you're going to have Bachelorette in January. It will bookend the holidays. It will give people who are new to Taylor a chance to, I'm sure Disney is hoping, watch all of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. But I also think there will be a segment of the hardcore Bachelor audience that, like, has not gotten into Secret Lives, that will not be watching. And so I would hope that they would just be really honest about who this person is. And I would hope that Taylor, you know, given what we've seen from her, will be open to discussing these things, because it also is literally relevant to a person who's going to be in a relationship with her.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I mean, again, like they would probably be on season four, whoever she chooses.
I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing a long casting call. No,
it's a really long game. Yeah, it's a long game for these people. And it's like, we know that, you know, Jen and Whitney are on Dancing with the Stars. And it's just, it's...
also an ABC production.
Yeah, it's really kind of... And they were also on an episode of Vanderpump Villa, which is also on Hulu. Like, they're obviously Disney, ABC, Hulu, they're really kind of creating this... kind of
universe,
which is kind of new. Like, obviously, we have the Bravo universe, and we've had the Bachelor Nation world,
and the Netflix universe,
right? And the Netflix universe.
Yeah, I think you're so right.
I'm curious for you because, again, I'm somebody who watched a lot of The Bachelor and a lot of The Bachelorette, but I stopped watching it probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm already like so excited to watch this. Like, I'm going to be back in the fold completely. As somebody who, again, you've stuck with it, you're a scholar of this universe. It must be exciting for you to think about the fact that, like, this is going to be like a really zeitgeisty thing again for The Bachelorette, like for more so than it has been probably in like nearly a decade, honestly.
Yes. And like, yeah, I'd say probably since the Hannah Brown era. Which it was very, very zeitgeisty, very culturally central. I think since really COVID, there's been a downturn. You know, there was obviously a lot of history that the show had to grapple with during the reckoning of 2020 surrounding race. They completely bungled their first Bachelor and their treatment of Matt James. Chris Harrison, the longtime host, was pushed out for incidents of racism. The creator, Mike Fleiss, was pushed out for incidents of racism. So I think that, understandably, a lot of people were just like, the vibes are bad on this franchise. I don't want to be a part of it. And you had a politically progressive segment of the audience say, I'm out, this is gross. You had a conservative segment of the audience say, like, how dare you take away my beautiful racist Chris Harrison? And a lot of like darkness, I think, kind of settled over the show. And that's not good for bringing new audience in. And so I think that this does represent, again, that big swing, that cultural reset for the show. And I can't say whether it's going to be good or bad. Like, we don't know what that viewing experience is going to be or how people are going to respond to it. But what we do know is that it's not going to be boring, and that I think there is going to be, I think, a need for thoughtful commentary surrounding it. Like, this has always been a franchise. The reason I got into talking about it is because it has always been a franchise that has both created and reflected where we are at in terms of our social mores around sex, dating, relationships. It has represented this fundamentally conservative worldview while being created by a lot of people who I think have more progressive politics. So it has like done this odd straddling. So if it's going to be culturally central, I think we need to be talking about it in a thoughtful way and be questioning what messages the season is sending us. And I think that like Taylor Frankie Paul is a really, really fascinating figure to be at the center of that.
Very well said, Emma, as per usual. Last question for you, because I know that you are going to do a much longer deep dive on this on your podcast. So if people have enjoyed this conversation, check out your podcast. But what do you hope or maybe think the casting of Taylor Frankie Paul as The Bachelorette signals for the future direction of Bachelor Nation as a whole? Because as you said, Bachelor in Paradise got a new producer from Summer House. It took some big swings. It really felt like more people were talking about that show again. It made some big changes. So there's change afoot, obviously, in a broader sense. What do you hope that is signaling to viewers?
I hope it's signaling that the franchise is ready to take risks, is ready to listen to its audience. And, you know, I hope they are taking these big swings. And then if things don't work, they're able to course correct. Like, I think we just need a Bachelor franchise that is nimble and that is able to, like, maintain its DNA, the simplicity of its structure, while still being willing to think outside of the box and, like, and yeah, like, embrace change. You can't have something on the air for 25 years and not have it ever change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Emma, this is exactly what I needed. I needed somebody to really keep me in check. You have multiple podcasts, right? You have your Substack. Do your plugs or voice on off so people get more of this deep dive from you, because again, you know what you're talking about.
Oh, thank you so much. This is so fun. And honestly, this chat is helping me get all of thoughts in order. But yeah, we will be releasing an episode, like a deep dive on this topic on Love to See It later this week. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. And then we also have a fun little subscriber chat going on our Substack, Rich Text. And you can find that at clareandemma.substack.com. And we are on Instagram at Claire and Emma Pod, and that straddles both of our shows.
And also, you guys, Rich Texts, I get some of my best recommendations every single week in my inbox from Rich Texts, the newsletter.
Also, you have been on. We have had
I have been featured on the show multiple times. Yes, but
this is exciting, Gibson, because this means that you can come on Love to See It to talk about The Bachelorette.
No, 100%. Like, I'm already, the wheels are turning, Emma. I'm like, all right, am I recapping The Bachelorette for the first time on Gavin with Gibb this season? Like, am I going to, the synergy is there. The synergy is happening just like it's happening in the DC ABC.
Yeah, this is just a boon for us podcasters, really, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Okay, well, clearly, stay tuned. More to come. Emma Gray, thank you so much. And we'll talk again soon.
Yay.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.